you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be along with you on this April 14th, a beautiful Tuesday morning in the neighborhood. Is it your birthday today? If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. In fact, we want to hear if you know someone that has a birthday and you want us to mention their name on the air. We'd love to share happy birthday to your friends and family. You can just email to me at stacy@kslmnews.com, and we would love to celebrate with your loved ones their birthday. Our studio line is 503-589-1220 or 1220. We'd love to talk to you this morning. If you have some news that we can use or just some thoughts that you want to share with us, we'd love to visit with you on the line. Want to say hello to my neighbor, Steve. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I know there's a few of you listening this morning, and also want to say thank you for listening. And I want to thank you for all that you're doing in our community, my friend. You guys are making a difference, and I've seen it as I've walked around and gone to the store to get my essential needs. Kindness. I see kindness and people reaching out and checking in with one another. We are weathering this storm of COVID-19, and it does make a difference. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio right here at KSLM, and I want to thank our friends at Northwest Natural for allowing us to have teaming together to have a resource link on our website at kslm.news. If there's anything that you need in the community, not sure how to link up to it, we've got resources there to assist you. And speaking of that, you know, some of you are at home right now because you are unemployed in your job. You're not sure how you're going to sign up, or you sign up for unemployment check and you're not sure how that all works. Something I learned yesterday is if you have registered or signed up online, everything is going online now. You want to make sure that you're checking in weekly, even if you haven't had a confirmation, any communication from unemployment here in Oregon. You want to make sure that you're going on the website and checking in weekly. They have a process where you need to claim it weekly and verify that you still are not working. And so that was something that I had learned yesterday. So we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And looking at the numbers of COVID-19 currently here in Oregon, of course, this is as of yesterday because they update the numbers every day, usually by 11 a.m. And in fact, today, for the first time in many weeks, we're going to actually have a press conference from our own governor here at 11, and we'll get some more updates from the Oregon governor's office. So far in the state of Oregon, since January 24th, there's been 31,121 tests given. Out of that, 29,537 tests were negative. There were 1,584 tests that were positive and 53 deaths so far right here in Oregon. And the Oregon National Guard delivers PPE to 36 counties, including Marion County, which received 550 surgical masks, 11,292 N95 masks, 232 gowns, 5,793 face shields, 9,037 gloves, and 20,751 containers of hand sanitizer. Our friends in Polk County received 100 surgical masks, 1,981 N95 masks, 41 gowns, 1,000 face shields, and over 1,874 gloves, 3,663 containers of hand sanitizer. So our counties are getting reinforcements. And one of the things that was in the headlines that I think is very encouraging, the governors of Oregon, our governor, Governor Brown here in Oregon, along with the governor in California and in Washington, are signaling they're going to do a team effort to reopen the region's economy, which of course has been slowed down to a complete stop, right? Pretty much, other than essential things. And that means that they're going to continue to monitor with these governors on what they called a shared vision for reigniting the economy while controlling the spread of the virus. And even though we've made progress in this area, the three states have agreed to work on a plan that puts health first, says the governors, with clear indicators that our communities are getting restarted in the public life and business. And it's interesting times that we live in. And in the studio, I'm so glad to have you here, Don. Don Wyant is here with me. And as a business owner, a community leader, someone who's been in an elected position, your wisdom and insight is so important. And when you hear this call to action and these governors coming together, I'm curious as to your insight and what does that do given what we've gone through the last 6-7 weeks?
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's always fun. And you mentioned birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
My dad turned 85 yesterday.
Oh,
so happy birthday.
Yes.
Don
happy
Senior.
Happy birthday. That's awesome.
You know, speaking of the governors and reopening, and I really think that we should have been addressing this county by county all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
The metropolitan areas of Salem and Washington County and Multnomah and part of Clackamas, they've really taken the brunt of all this. And I don't believe we needed to shut down all of Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon and places where we should have at least let the parts of our economy perform that could have been performing.
Mm-hmm.
They still need to do the social distancing. They still need to be careful about the hand washing. And these are things that we're going to carry forward regardless, I think, for at least a good long while until everybody feels comfortable again. But what we have done to our economy for these last 6 weeks or so, it's going to take, my belief is it's going to take many, many years for us to come back from that,
mm-hmm.
even psychologically, just to want to spend money again.
Right. And even the talk has been with the stimulus package, you know, it's been over 2 weeks since that was approved, but there was really no system there was an idea of how it was going to get out to the people, but they're still struggling. I think now some of the stimulus checks are hitting. One of my daughters, she's got three little ones. She's received her check. I know that it's not getting to the people right now, so that panic is almost in businesses,
yeah.
even, you know.
Yeah, one of my daughters received her, you know, for her husband and herself yesterday. In her account, it had $2,400 in it, and she was so excited. Well, the other one that has the four kids didn't get anything yet,
mm.
you know. And so it's a hit and miss thing. I also got a notice from SBA yesterday because all of our little businesses just have a couple of employees,
mm-hmm.
and yet we have several little businesses like that. But they said initially that every business would get a $10,000 bounce.
Just right.
Well, now they're saying you can have up to $10,000 based on if you have the number of employees you have. So that means on these businesses where our rent is $5,000, we'll get $1,000 or $2,000. Maybe three if we have three employees. So it really kind of doesn't do any good.
It's just kind of more of a motivator to keep your people employed. But the contrast is if there's nothing for them really to do, you know, and how does that work? You know, some of these businesses, they have to be shut down. They can't work, you know, and yet they're being given money to keep people employed. It seems like it's another unemployment way, in a sense, to get funds to the people. So what do you do in those situations? What do businesses do if they can't restart by the 1st of May? People are gonna really have to rethink how they're doing their business.
Oh, especially smaller, like beauty salons,
mm-hmm.
and nail salons and restaurants where you have to be set close together. How
mm-hmm.
is that going to happen? I don't have an answer for that one yet. In fact, the way that this whole incentive has gone down with everyone receiving the $1,200 and getting on unemployment, you actually make more money on unemployment than most most people make on a regular wage. So it's
that's demotivating. What's the word there?
Motivating.
Yeah. Demotivating. Yes. If you can be at home doing what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks and collect a check. Although I do know by clicking in there and getting information, my understanding is you have to say what's your ongoing look for job and are you wanting to go back and, you know, to continue. You have to say these things.
Sure. We've got, fortunately around here, we've got Amazon and and I think Walmart. I saw some signs in and a few other places. I'd be interested in hearing from our listeners if they know of places that are looking for personnel.
Oh, yeah. We would love to hear from you this morning, included into the conversation of how you are adapting and coping through this time of COVID-19, the storm that we're weathering. If you'd like to call in, 503-589-1220 is our studio line. We'd love to visit with you on what are you doing? What are some creative ways to keep your family occupied? Here's the thing that's happening this week. It's getting real for a lot of families because this is not Easter break anymore. School is starting back up, and I know with your grandchildren that are having to have their kids go back to school, and is such a challenge from what I'm understanding, because not only are people that are still allowed to work and working from home, now they're having to help their children as well and with their work.
You know, before the Industrial Revolution and everybody working, everyone was on a farm. Mm-hmm. And the kids had a job. They'd get up at 5 or 6 in the morning, do the job to take care of the animals, do the chores, help in the fields. And that whole work ethic has disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, I know a lot of people don't have even a house, they're in an apartment or something. If there's some way to figure out a way to instill those values of hard work, that's what it's going to take for our nation to get back to it again. I had one of our tenants call and say he couldn't pay the rent, and he's just about had it. His teenage kids and young adults that are in the house, tiny little house and no yard or anything, and he just said, I don't know what to do with them. I can't keep them in much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor probably better, you know, if she's going to take a really cautious approach, she needs to come up with some solutions. They even closed down all the state parks, I mean, come on.
Right,
folks.
Right. And we went this last weekend, we went to Cascade Gateway? Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of behind Walmart here, and it was amazing. It was like we went back there, and there was this whole another world back there of families and people fishing and people there. It was like this little secret place. I probably just exposed it.
No, actually, that's one of the places they told the homeless they could go camp. Did you see
that? Yes, lots of homeless there, and I wondered if there was some permission to be there. A lot of people in their vehicles camping in their, you know, I assumed because all their stuff was in their vehicles and things, and they were cooking and stuff. So I didn't realize this is somewhere were allowed to go.
That was when they did the set and lay thing with the city of Salem on the sidewalks. They said, all right, we're going to open up Wallace Marine Park to the homeless and Cascade Gateway Park.
Okay, so that may be why we discovered this community and a lot of people around the lake fishing and a lot of recreation going on. People coping, doing what they can do during this particular time, weathering the storm of COVID-19. How are you doing, my friend? Would love to hear from you. We'll open up the studio lines, 503-589-1220. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Don Wyatt hanging out with me this morning as we talk through the day's issues. We'll be back right after this. Good morning to you, my friend. Together on this Tuesday, April 14th, it's 7:22, and our weather today is going to be outstanding. Another day to maybe take a stroll, take a walk. You know, I have this goal Don. I have Don Wyatt in the studio with me today, and we're hanging out talking about today's issues. You know, with this COVID-19, I have thought, well, what a great opportunity to make some new goals. And I downloaded this app on my phone, and it's called Couch to 5K. And what it does is it coaches you how to go from a fast walk to a slow jog to maybe down the road after so much time you can actually run in a 5K, which I've never done. It is on my bucket list. And so we went to Busch Park yesterday, and I lasted about maybe 15 minutes on and off. It has you walk some and run some.
Well, I would do about 15 steps. And in fact, that's actually my goal, is to walk for 100 steps and then jog for 100 steps.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, can put it up.
I'll have to share this app with you, because it tells you, okay, now for 50 seconds,
time to go.
You can run. And now, okay, now for, you know, it's really quite fun. But Busch Park was full of people.
Oh, sure.
Walkers, joggers.
How were they doing on their distancing?
Great.
Perfect, right?
People are, you know, they'll go with their significant other,
yeah,
you know, or their children. And that's a little family cluster, and that's expected, right? But people are very good. And even if they ran into someone that they knew, they were keeping their distance. Mm-hmm. They're 6 feet a distance. And so I want to believe, I think people generally are designed to be good. I mean, I really think that they want to do the right thing. And I think it's important that we entrust them with the ability to get our government, get our business back, you know, and restart.
Right. And even during these times, keep government out of our business.
Oh, absolutely.
And shutting down the state parks, I think that was not only a sin, but a crime.
Mm-hmm.
A crime, but a sin. But what are people supposed to do? I mean, many people don't have 2 or 3 acres they can walk around, or a park near them if they're shut down. And, you know, the city's done a good job in Salem and surrounding the areas, Staten and so on, Kaiser, where they have kept parks open, and they have put yellow tape around the play equipment.
Yes.
Well, that's an obvious place. The kids are going to come, lots of different kids from lots of different families, and mm-hmm. touch their hands, touch their face.
Yes.
And so, okay, great on that one.
Yep.
But for the state to shut down the whole river system and mm-hmm.
The beaches,
the
too.
Beaches.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the kids wanted to go fishing over the weekend, and they usually go to a state park and fish off a dock there on the riverside. And they couldn't go in because the whole park was closed down. That doesn't make sense.
Well, even along the coast, as we took a couple of weeks ago, we took a nice drive along the coastline. They had all of the pull-offs, just the viewing places to look over. And, of course, this is, I think, in March and April, still kind of whale-watching area. And I wanted to do that this year, mm-hmm. coming back to Oregon. And even just the pull-off. Now, in my experience, in all these years, when I've ever pulled off, I've never interacted with another person there.
Right, you know? Right. How many times do you go up?
It's just a natural social distance. Everybody gets out of their car. Usually the wind is blowing. You go and take a look, take a few pictures, and you get back in your car. So I'm like, this doesn't even make sense to me. And I know being in an elected position, there's a lot of responsibility, and the burden of making sure you're taking care of the idea is the most vulnerable, right? And to set the bar to protect those that maybe can't even protect themselves. I think that's the idea of it. But
they
reality,
always go to the lowest common denominator.
Exactly. And that's the thinking. And the difficulty with that is that they think people can't think for themselves, or they won't naturally do the right thing. And it's not giving the opportunity. And I think that's why we have the Constitution. I think that's why our founding fathers came across with this. And I'm a riled up gal, okay? It doesn't take much. Yes, I'm a redhead. I don't have a hot temper, but I do have a just spirit.
And I ride a
motorcycle, so don't be messing. No. Anyway, I don't like that our rights on our Constitution are constantly stepped upon. And some of the things that I'm hearing out of Kentucky and some of these other states, even over the weekend, yeah, people wanting to assemble and worship and doing still the social distance thing. I want to be in my car with my family on the place of their church, and they're taking license plate numbers and things like that. I don't know, that just rubs me the wrong way. And I'm thinking, where is my country of liberty and freedom. Come on, Lady Liberty, let's stand. Come on, Pioneer Spirit here in Oregon, let's stand up. You know, my thoughts are these parks, these places that we have taxpayers, right? The folks here have invested money in, and we pay people to take care of and steward through our fees, right, and our taxes. We should have an opportunity during these times to access those. And I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I noticed over the weekend that there are starting to be protests in front of state capitals now. In different places where they have imposed draconian laws or rules, in places where there's not that bad of a COVID outbreak. And or, as some people like to call it, the Chinese virus.
Right.
But I thought that here in Oregon, if Kate Brown doesn't have something good to say today, then it's probably time for us to organize 15 or 20,000 people to drive around the Capitol and let them know that we're getting tired of this. Because if we don't stand up now, I feel like they're trying to push the envelope to see how far they can go, and then they'll leave that boundary out further than we want it to be.
Right.
And we have to protect our personal freedoms and our individual liberties.
I absolutely agree with you. I think it is time. I think today is critical, and that she is making an appearance publicly to have this this conference and this press conference. And the difficulty has been, and I've seen some elected leaders say, where is our governor? You know, when we elect a leader like that, we want them to stand up, even if they're going to get criticized. And I've seen Kristi Noem in South Dakota, who I know personally, I would call her a friend, who's the governor of South Dakota. She has taken a strong stand, a stand for liberty, and said, let's look at the facts, let's look at the science, and where we have issues, we'll deal with them. And they have. They've shut down this plant in which, by the way, is Chinese-owned, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They've shut it down. And they're doing things. But she is getting criticized for not being a Kate Brown, in a sense, and controlling everything. And I think letting the locals control it where the hot spot is the best way. The local counties, the local government. I'm a big local government where your people are living and working and all of that.
Right, and where's Congress and our four Democrat
Congresspeople?
Where are you?
Where are you? Hello, echo, echo, echo. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use together on this Tuesday. Thank you for tuning in, my friend. We'll be back after this break.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem, Silverton, Staten, wherever you are today in your living room. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. And I stumbled upon this story, and I want to share it with you today because I think it's pretty moving, particularly in the time that we're in. So yeah, I'm going to read it to you. A minister passing through his church in the middle of the day decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then, the back door opened and a man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was kind of shabby and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt, he bowed his head, then he rose and walked away. In the days that followed, each day at noon came this chap. Every time he knelt, just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. While the minister's suspicions grew with robbery and main fear, he decided to stop the man and ask him, "What are you doing here?" The man said he worked down the road. Lunch was a half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. "I stay only moments, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is Jim checking in." The minister, feeling foolish, told Jim that was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come and pray just any time. "Time to go," Jim smiled and said thanks. He hurried to the door. The minister knelt at the altar. He'd never done that before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, and met with Jesus there. As tears flowed in his heart, he repeated old Jim's prayer. "I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I have been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know how much I don't know much how to pray, but I think of you every day. So Jesus, this is me checking in. Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. As more days passed without Jim, he began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. The hospital staff worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles, a joy contagious, changed people, were his reward. The head nurse couldn't understand why Jim was so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards came, no visitors he had. The minister stayed by his bed, his voice, the nurse's concern. No friends came to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up with a winsome smile. The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that someone was here all the while. Every day at noon, he's here, a dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down, takes my hand, leans over, and says to me, I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been since we found this friendship and I took away your sin. Always love to hear you pray. I think about you each day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in. Oh, man, friends, that little story really resonated with me as we think about all of those that are affected by COVID-19 and the isolation, the folks that are in the hospital recovering, trying to recover, can't have their family and friends around. But you know what? We are not alone. We are not alone. We have a Father in heaven who looks down, and that's my belief, my Christian worldview, that loves us, cares for us, and he's not surprised about this. And so in this reset time, it gives us a chance to kind of look in our own lives and how are we doing life? What we were doing, was it that important really? What's important? Our family, our friends, our health, obviously. And when you hear this story, Donna, how does that stir in you this season that we're in? I know there's that scripture in 2 Chronicles that says, you know, if my people come to me and pray, basically, and this is a Stacy paraphrase, and repent and turn of their ways, I will hear their prayer and heal their land. And it seems like that is right where we're at. It seems like the season that we're in is a chance to put pause on and reflect and do things different. When we restart this economy, when we get going again, how have our priorities changed? What matters, right?
Right. You know, we do listen to that verse a lot. We hear it a lot. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. But there's a verse before that that I think is really important. And there's some really important parts in that as well, as far as if we'll be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's humbling us, I think.
Yes.
If we'll pray and we seek his face. And one of the things that I hear on the national media and from our elected leaders and so on is that we're going to come back from this bigger and stronger, and mm-hmm. and we're Americans and we've done this before and whatever. Nations have failed before too.
Yes.
And of course everyone's going to put a great face on it, and I want everyone to be optimistic as well. But it's not about what we do. You know, we are a nation who started out seeking God and looking for freedom freedom from persecution. And so everyone at the time, and up until, you know, at least the late 1800s, early 1900s, had some idea of God and some concept of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And with the things that have happened in Hollywood and the whole, not to be conspiracy oriented, but the whole New World Order stuff,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there is an enemy. If there's a God, then there's an enemy.
Right.
And the whole idea is to tear us down. So if you go back one verse, it says, this is God speaking, when I shut up the heavens so there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land. Notice he said, when I shut up, uh-huh, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people.
Mm.
He does that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to get on a preach or anything, but the same thing is true with every country and every people, is that we have a responsibility to take note, as you said, set back and reflect on our own lives and our own country.
Mm-hmm.
And how far off have we gone from at least a Judeo-Christian perspective, a social perspective, if not a religious perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that everyone can do that, you know, and that we actually do repent and say, wow, God, I have forgotten you.
Right. And I think that we can't ignore our spiritual, mental, physical. I mean, that we're human beings. Spiritual beings having a human experience, really. We really are. And the reality is that we have an opportunity. It's not about stars on a Sunday school chart. We are all responsible and accountable for how our lives are. And we have an opportunity to really impact not only our own life, but those around us. And I believe loving our neighbor as ourself is really, really important. And the reality is that in my worldview, and I believe yours too, Don, that the Bible, the Torah, the Holy Scriptures were given as a reminder and for as a guide for life on how to do this life.
It's an instruction manual.
It's an instruction manual.
What are you going to do when you're with your car?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a way to be able to maintain it, to be able to repair it when it gets messed up. And what kind of a father would God be if he just threw us out here and said, okay, you're on your own, good luck.
Right, have fun with that.
But he did, he gave us an instruction manual. So.
Yes, and the neat thing is that all of us are created with that need to connect. You know, need to connect with our Creator and need to know that we matter, you know, and we do. We're made in His image and we do have a powerful opportunity to go out and make a difference in our lives. In this reset and pause that we're in right now, how are you going to do things different? When things start up, are you going to get really busy again into all of those activities or this time around your kitchen table that has been so cherished where you're cooking meals again and you're sitting there beside your kids and you're giggling and making memories? I mean, my prayer is that 10, 15 years from now, when your kids are having their own families, you're going to look back at this time. You're going, Mom, remember when we played that game of Uno and, you know, you turned your card to the wrong side and all this. And I mean, these fun little things that kids are going to remember. Here's an opportunity. And I'm excited for the seeds of faith that are developing right now. And people are wanting to go to church but can't. Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting thing.
You know, you mentioned the senior citizens, in particular older Oregonians, older Americans who are kind of targeted by this disease and they're wondering how they can be most effective. I hope that you all will, as you reflect on your own lives, that you'll write down your experiences and you really serve as a foundation. So if you have had an unrighteous life and that's the foundation you've laid, then you see the results of that. You mm-hmm. see the fruit. But on the same token, if you, excuse me, that's mm-hmm. not a COVID clearing throat.
So. That's an allergy.
That's an allergy, yeah. If you, you can have the same effect, except for on the positive side of influence in our society, if you would take the time to write down how you've been blessed in your mm-hmm. life and share that with people. And you really are a foundation that the last generation before you can look to for leadership. And even in your retirement years, don't get complacent and lazy and think you're worthless, because your greatest worth is right now to step out and lead. One of my favorite movies is The Patriot.
Oh, yes.
And he wasn't, you know, like in his 80s or anything, but this guy had already gone through all the wars and seen all the bloodshed and everything that he could possibly stomach for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so he retired away from soldiering.
Mm-hmm.
This is during the Revolutionary War. And yet the younger generation, they had all the enthusiasm, they had all the will to win, but they didn't have the experience and they didn't have the overall drive and the strategy and how do we make the things work again. And so the old patriot comes back and leads the charge and
mm-hmm.
and they're able to overcome the enemy. That's what I think the value is of this generation that's been attacked, is that you have the ability to charge forward ahead of us and lead us again in things that we haven't experienced.
Oh, that's a powerful, powerful thought right there. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. You know, one of the most interesting comments that I have with a senior a few years ago. He says, now that I'm arrived at this age and have all the answers, no one's asking me the questions. We're going to be back here after the break. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this Tuesday.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's 7:50 on this Tuesday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Along with Don Wyatt, we're enjoying a wonderful morning talking about our topics of the day. And certainly, it's an interesting time that we live in right now, Don. And we were just talking about how we've seen people stepping up and looking for ways to impact their community. And you were talking about your little journey yesterday. What did you discover?
Oh, it was so fun. A trip to Safeway is a lot of fun.
It's a big deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But all of the employees there had on black homemade face masks. And I thought, well, that's a really good fit. I had put a buff on, and a buff is too tight, and it kept sliding mm-hmm. down and everything, and it was kind of a mess. So I asked them where they got their little face mask. They said, oh, this elderly lady made them for everybody in the store. And it reminded me that my wife's sister, Mitzi, had done the same thing. Anytime she sees a store worker or a healthcare worker or a frontline responder, she makes masks for that organization, and she's a professional seamstress. So she,
wow.
That's how she contributes. And I was thinking, and she's older, older mm-hmm. too. And I thought, what a great thing that she has done for her community pride, and to be helpful and loving and kind. And I just was very impressed that there are a lot of people out there looking for ways to help when they see it. And that's really what America is all about, I think, and possibly what this the younger generations haven't been taught, is that when you see a need, you fix it.
Right.
You don't wait for government to do it.
No. And that is really rolling up our sleeves and finding out ways that we can be involved. And I know I've seen people going across the country. I don't know if this has happened here in Salem. I've not heard. But last week, several people, radio stations organized where people were in a parking lot of a hospital, and they turned up the music. Most of it was Christian music, and they honked their horns and clapped and just took a time to thank all of the workers there. And I think of all of our healthcare workers. Perhaps you're listening right now and you're on your way. You're putting on, I'm hearing that they wear their street clothes in and change when they get into the locker room, right? And leave their clothes there back and forth to kind of prevent the spread if they are in contact. And so if you're on your way to work this morning, thank you for tuning in. And we're thinking of you. But we're also thinking of the grocery store workers who are frontline. Our definition of frontline workers have really expanded, including our gas station attendants. I went into Quick Mart mm-hmm. there on Lancaster. I think it's called the Space Something Quick Mark anyway.
This age?
Yeah, and yeah. Great price on gas, by the way.
$1.99. I couldn't believe it.
So exciting. and he's like, hey, people don't think about us. And I said, hey, I'll talk about you on the radio, because you are a frontline worker, and you are essential. We need gas, And I'm curious, have you pumped your own gas yet, now that they've kind of loosened the restrictions? Everywhere I've gone, they still have attendants, but have you had a chance to?
Yeah, I've done it twice. I love to do it myself.
Oh my goodness. That was such a big change when we moved back here to Oregon. I had forgotten that in Oregon, you don't do that, right? Everywhere else you do. And everywhere else, it's a lot colder than Oregon. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to have that little bit of extra help at the pump. But we're reminded that there are people all around. I think of my daughter who's at Taco Bell. She's the drive-through person handling the money.
Right.
And the food, and coming in contact with tons of people. Her hours right now have increased. In fact, they're promoting her into a management position, which is a blessing. But, there's these folks we don't think of typically coming in contact. People may be at risk. And so we do a shout out to all of you going the extra mile.
Absolutely. And not to take this in another direction necessarily, but I did want to bring something up from before, and it has to do with our local officials and how important voting
is.
Yes,
let's get back there. Yes.
you know, we know it's important to elect a good president, and but we were talking about the local officials that really control. And if we are going to follow the Constitution, then that government that is closest to the people is the one that should really be influencing us, and because we can influence them the most.
Exactly.
And in Marion County, we have all Republican commissioners, mm-hmm. for example. And I think it's the same in Polk County, too. And just because we got them in there, we need to be on a constant path of vigilantly contacting them and letting them know what we need and what we don't need.
Yes.
Especially what we don't need. Because when you're in an elected office, it's so easy to be influenced by career staff people mm-hmm. who are influenced by the, you know, the George Soros groups, or by Agenda 21 or Goal 15 of the United Nations about sustainable development and mm-hmm. whatever. Well, those are easy to buy into, even as a conservative or a Republican, just because it's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of us who are out in the community trying to do business and trying to live life need to remind our elected officials of any party that they are responsible to us, and their purpose is to make our lives easier.
Right, right.
Which generally means less taxes.
Well, always, right? Less taxes. There's 13 days. In fact, I've got the state, the Marion County site up. 13 days, 16 hours, and 3 minutes and 38, 37, 36 seconds left. Until the registration deadline on April 28th. Now, my understanding from the conversation that I had with a county official yesterday looking for my registration, by the way, no confirmation has come in the mail yet, and I sent it out in the middle of March.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's because their staff is less or what, but friends, I want to encourage you, no matter what, verify that you are. Go to Oregon.gov, the Secretary of State, or even county, Marion County site, and verify that you are registered to vote.
Yeah, or Polk County or
Polk
Yamhill County,
whatever county that you live in, make sure that you are, that you confirm that your registration, and it's registered in the party that you've registered with. Here's why. Because it says for this primary on May 19th, they're going to start sending out the ballots the next day, the 29th. The deadline's the 28th. The 29th is when they sent out the ballots. Okay, so this is very important. Mm-hmm. And they said that apparently here in Oregon, they do a voter guide or a booklet, a pamphlet, and that'll be coming out here shortly.
Yep.
And so that you should get that before the ballots go out on the 29th, so we'll know. We are working together a plan to get the information on each of the candidates in our local races, so you'll have that information here as well. We're putting that together. We're hoping to maybe do some interviews for sure, but maybe have some sort of forum, still keeping our social distancing. We're looking into that, but we want you to be involved. Let your elected leaders know how you're doing right now. They have a responsibility to you, and we have a responsibility to let them know how it is. And if you're a business owner, we encourage you to get in contact with them.
That would be really fun, because this primary season, you can't go out and have debates in the
right.
in the public anymore. So that really does put a big onus on us.
Door to door. You can't do door to door. So my idea is to do like a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do a Zoom meeting with the candidates and broadcast it. We can rebroadcast it on the morning show, but certainly we could do it where we invite people, get them a code. And so if you're an elected leader tuning in this morning, you'd like to be involved with that, we'd love to talk to you about that. We'll be in touch.
Also, if you haven't registered to vote and you need help, call the station. We'll find
help you.
Yep.
Yep, we'll help you. That's right. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Tuesday. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. Enjoyed my time with Dawn this morning. You have a fantastic day. Get out, register to vote, be prepared, learn the issues. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.